The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You know how many people pick their nose and then put it in their pocket?
No.
Well, every day for the past 4 days, she hasn't returned one call.
Was it a scratch? Or a pick?
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What? I don't.
Yes.
That is not a thing.
I guarantee I'm not alone.
No.
I guarantee Chewy, I'm not alone.
It was a scratch.
Hey, it's me.
Don't you think I know the difference between a pick and a scratch?
If you're picking your nose, you're not putting it in your pocket.
Wait,
you're flicking it. You just took it out of one orifice. You're not putting it in another.
You're telling me you picked your nose and put it in
your pocket? Not anymore, but I used to.
Was there any nostril penetration?
There may have been some incidental penetration, but from her angle, she was in no position to make the call.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looked like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
Brewers enjoying a well-deserved, much-deserved off day today before they start that series against the New York Mets at AmFam Field. One of just two off days in the month of August. The second one comes 1 week from today, and then it is a gauntlet. Cincinnati, that five-game series against the Cubs, San Francisco, Arizona, and they end the month with Toronto. And there has been a lot of, like, folklore surrounding this Brewers team. You know, you think about Pat's pocket pancakes. You think about the power of friendship. You think about some of the other stuff. We saw a hot tub picture on the wall of the dugout. Anybody have any idea what that means?
Not an idea. Zero idea.
Hot tub, and you got a bunch of pitchers who are just hanging out on the top of the hot. I mean, just weird stuff, but like it's all working. And Pat Murphy is obviously this tough love guy, right? He's not a taskmaster, but he obviously wants things done the right way. He cares about his guys. They obviously have bought in. But here's a thing I didn't know that Pat Murphy was doing. It's an article from The Athletic. And I got to be honest with you, Gabe, you're going to have to explain it to me again. Because when you told me that Pat Murphy was handing out checks, I assumed it was an incentive process, right? It was like, oh, you got another hit in the game. Here's a check for X number of dollars. Not the case.
So from this article over at The Athletic featuring, you know, again, a lot on Pat Murphy, a little bit about the Brewers from Andy McCullough. This is something that apparently Murph has been doing for a while because the Brewers very much have been a team, whether it was Counts in charge, whether it's Murphy in charge, it feels like there's a lot of the whole is greater than the sum of its parts going on. And a lot of that comes down to, hey, you got to do your job. And a lot of that is selfless baseball, right? Like, moving runners over, quality at bats. Hey, yeah, maybe you didn't drive in the run, but you got the runner over to third so we can get a sac fly and get this guy in. So I think where a lot of that started, at least for Pat Murphy, when he first came to the Brewers, and I'm pretty sure he's still doing this to this day, he has a check system where this is how you keep everybody and their ego in check. So it's an ego-deflating exercise he calls the check game, which is designed to prevent from people puffing themselves up. So he's got a whiteboard, he keeps the tallies, and if you do something that he feels, you know, is now you're kind of puffing yourself up, you know, try to keep your ego in check, he's going to give you a check. For example, the examples they give in the article, former bullpen coach Steve Carce, when he referred to Yankees former teammate Derek Jeter as Jeets, that's a check.
That is weird.
Yeah, that's weird.
He called Jeter by a nickname, and and Murph was like, nope, your ego's getting too big.
Yep.
Check.
Exactly. Well, because you don't want to get big at all. Council apparently used to bring his glove to the ballpark. That was a check.
His glove?
Yep. You're not a player anymore. You're a manager.
Yeah, but he's not bringing a hockey stick. Like, it's still baseball related.
That was, yeah, but you're not using it. What are you using it for as a manager? You're not a manager. You're not a player anymore. You're managing. Check. And then apparently there was one time when former hitting coach Andy Haynes wanted to ask David Stearns, who was then running baseball ops, a question. And everybody was sitting there. And before he asked the question, he goes, hold on. Hey, this is going to be a check. And just let Murphy know, put this check down. I'm asking this question anyway. But this is kind of what he's always done to try to keep everybody in check. Keep the ego in check. You don't want the mark on the whiteboard.
I got a couple more for you, too, that I want to read off from the article. It says, Murphy maintains the same rigor with the Ivory Tower, the name he has given to Matt Arnold's front office. That's hilarious in and of itself. An Ivory Tower check is when they come swooping in like, hey, why don't you, and give me a suggestion. That's a bleeping check.
That's weird. I mean, I don't think you could do it in football.
Because the egos are too good.
I mean, what if a guy did a commercial? That's a check. No commercials.
Yeah, it'd be a check.
Keep,
right?
Keep your ego in check. Well, I think you could do the commercial, but if you come to the ballpark, or you can, in this instance, come to the football field bragging about the commercial, that's a check.
Let me ask you a question.
Please.
Is there crap talking in baseball?
A little from time to time, but not really. Not a ton.
Okay.
I mean, you've seen it where it can get fiery, you know, at times. Maybe you see some. It's more about actions in baseball, because really the only time you're that close to someone is when you're on first base or you're at the plate
with the catcher. Saying stuff?
No, the catcher's just kind of letting everything, you know.
All right.
And again, if the catcher does say something, it becomes an issue pretty
quickly.
Chewy's
over here picturing the Sandlot. Is that your sister?
Yeah.
That's your sister. She's naked. One other thing that says here is if someone in the scouting department bragged about bird-dogging, flame-throwing Jacob Mizorowski, that's a check. If someone in the analytics department claimed credit for seeing a path to success with Andrew Vaughn's minor league batted ball data, that's a check. And if anyone crowed about the wisdom of trading a competitive balanced draft pick for Quinn Priester, that is also a check.
But back to the Miz, is that a check on the scout or is it a check on Miz?
The scout, because the scout is the one like, oh, I'm the one who found Miz. Oh, blah, blah, blah. The
so
guy.
He's just trying to keep guys from puffing
up
their
chest.
Yeah,
no, I get it. Which is hard.
Yeah, especially when you got 70 wins and you're the best team in baseball.
But is it because they have no uber superstars?
I think that's what he's going for.
Okay.
Right?
Because
it feels like that, doesn't he? He's tapping into, we're just a bunch of average Joes, you know, dodgeball reference, and I will make many, many, many of those as the season continues to go on. And he wants them to maintain that mentality.
Just a humble
team. Because, and I've told you guys a bunch of times, that certain players get certain treatment. Like Brett and Reggie were A players. They get different treatment. Mm-hmm. B players were, you know, obviously, and then C's and D's. Is it because they have no?
I mean, they've got on the pitching
staff. When it comes
to
ego, they have no A players.
Correct. And Murph is trying to keep it that way.
Let me ask you a question. If we were to use Murphy's logic and parameters, who amongst us is getting the most checks?
Oh, me. But I'd push the envelope. I'd be like, all right, let's see where the line is. Right? And then I'd fight. I'd be like, that's BS. That's not a check. That's not a check. Right?
You would do all of these things.
No, I would.
I mean, we've got a whiteboard if you want us to keep, you know.
I think we should bring full-time Will in here on this one. Will, as the guy who kind of parachutes in and parachutes out of our merry band of misfits here, who would get the most checks on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy?
It's definitely Chewy. He definitely brings himself down the most.
I'll come behind that glass right now. And wear you out.
That's a check.
Check.
That's a check.
That's a check.
That's true.
Whiteboard.
That is a check. Yeah.
But I think Chewy would gladly wear that check. Again, sometimes you just got to eat the check.
See, I think that's a check on him.
For calling you out after Jen asked him a question?
Yes. It's like the scout, but in reverse logic.
If it's reverse logic, then how is it a check?
Because everyone likes to make fun of me. See, it would have been easier to say you getting the least amount of checks.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, I'm trying to find your way out. You're just lost in the maze.
I'd say that that's a check, but it's also self-awareness. So congratulations on that.
I think producer school here is just day one. Rip on Chewy as much as you can. Think about it.
Well,
Ashton.
You think there's producer school?
Is there, Will? Yeah, there is.
No producer school.
Do you have to wear pants to work?
That's a good question. I've actually been wondering that myself, testing the fashion
if
limits.
If you don't wear pants, is that a check?
I think, if you wear shorts and try to start a trend here.
Gabe, you're wearing shorts.
I'm wearing shorts, yeah.
People like, why are you wearing pants today? It's hot.
Well, I have a desk upstairs, and I don't know how it would look if I was wearing shorts compared to pants in the office.
Wow, he's got a desk?
You don't even have
is that a check?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's, yeah, bragging about a desk is a check.
It's a check?
Yeah, that's definitely
like
a check.
I think you just earned yourself
a check.
It's
100%
Will.
A check.
I don't accountability. Have a desk.
I don't get what someone's going to look up your shorts? What the hell are you talking about?
I mean, I'm not really concerned about it. I'm not trying to break any fashion barriers here, though, trying to start any trends.
I think you look good. I'm just saying you might be a little hot.
No, I mean, he's sitting over by, you know, the salespeople and the other office folks who are, you know, not going to be wearing shorts unless they happen to be going to play golf or something with some partners that day.
All right.
But for the most part, I would say, you know, if you're going into an office and conducting business, pants is typically the way to go.
I've never had a real job.
Well, we're aware.
Yeah.
We're aware.
Ryan McGuanigo says, I'm seeing some future check arrogance here. And Ian says, what you're describing sounds like Yelich to a T. He's good. He knows he's good, but he's pretty humble with it, not too braggadocious. I also like this from Matt Arnold in the article. Again, this is on The Athletic. On your Milwaukee Brewers, best record in baseball, fastest team to 70 wins, fastest in franchise history as well. He says, you have a lot of guys in our clubhouse who have been overlooked for a long time. And I do think there is something to that mentality of, these people didn't think I was good enough. These people didn't think I could cut the mustard. These folks didn't give me a shot. And that chip on the shoulder that we talk about so often, the challenge, of course, becomes as time goes on and you have this level of success and baseball is a long season, how do you maintain that underdog mindset when you have the best record in baseball, Gabe? And it sounds like that's what Murphy is trying to concoct here.
You put the blinders on. The Brewers play baseball a very specific way, and I brought this word up before. It's a selfless way. Like, how many times, a lot of these guys were the best player on their high school team, on their college team. How many times are these guys going to be asked to move a runner over? Hey, you got to make sure you hit that ball to the right side of the infield. We got to get that runner over to third. Hey, you got to give yourself up here. You got to sacrifice bunt. It's a lost art in baseball because a lot of teams, A, moved away from it before, again, the rule changes. And B, because once you get to this level, again, when's the last time a lot of these guys were asked to bunt? I mean, we've seen Yelich lay down a couple of bunts this year. This guy's a former MVP. But, hey, this is what the team needs for us to win games right now.
And Quinn Priester talks about that in the article. Again, I'm going to direct you to it on The Athletic. Keep it simple, stupid. Right? K-I-S-S. They talk about that a lot. Quinn Priester was told, we want you to focus on pounding your sinker down, trying to generate ground balls, trust the defense behind you. I'm sure there are times when Quinn Priester would like to go out and gas it up. Like, he'd like to show, you know, what he's capable of. But the team needs him, according to this article again, to be that ground ball pitcher. And so that's what he is going to do. And he said that keeping the game simple, keeping it fun, keeping it loose, you realize you're only one play away from doing something really great. What a good mindset.
Yeah.
Again, I think that really encapsulates what this version of the Milwaukee Brewers has been able to do. And, of course, to the tune of a very successful season so far. We will continue talking about your Milwaukee Brewers this morning. They have an off day, start a series up with the Mets, and then of course it's right after the Mets, right? Is that the next series is the Cubs, or do they have one
no,
in between?
No, it's the Mets,
they're at
Pirates.
Home, and then they go to the Cubs, right?
So home, away, and then the Cubs.
Oh, I didn't realize there was another one in there.
Yeah, so they've got three series before they get to the Cubs.
Mets,
series.
Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, then that five-game series against the Cubs. We'll take a break, roll on right after this, but before we do, guys, I want to tell you about my friends over at Good Health Saunas. Have you been to the State Fair yet? If you haven't, when you do, make sure you make your way through the Expo Center because Good Health Saunas has a spot there. You will see all of the saunas that they have to offer, and I cannot tell you enough what a benefit having a sauna in my home has been. It's basically maintenance-free. It was easily installed. It comes with a true lifetime warranty. Chewy's buddies were out at the fair last week. They picked up a Good Health sauna. If you visit goodhealthsaunas.com/Jen, you can get $500 to $800 off your purchase. If you mention Jen when you go to the State Fair, they will help you get a discount as well. So as you're walking through the Expo Center, make sure to swing by Good Health Saunas and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN. In my mind when she's not right,
This month, you have a ticket to cash at Cash Carnival at Pottawatomie. Play with your rewards card. Earn entries to win your share of $300,000 in cash and prizes. There are every Thursday drawings through August 28th. Your fortune awaits only at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee. More information on Cash Carnival is available online, pottawatomie.com. Must be 21 years old and a rewards member to play.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey?
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
The food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Chicken!
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, Gabe, what do we got?
List of 8 things you and Chew guess back and forth. Once you each get one incorrect, we open up to the fans. 800-990-3776. We were just talking about Pat Murphy. So in the Pat Murphy era, last 2 seasons of Brewers baseball, I am looking for the 8 players with the most home runs in that stretch.
Okay.
All righty.
One more time.
So the last 2 seasons, which is the Pat Murphy era.
Yeah.
Most home runs for the Brewers over the last 2 seasons.
Contreras.
William Contreras, 32 home runs, puts him at a tie for 3rd.
I think Willie last year.
Willie Adames hit 32 home runs, putting him in a tie with William.
Yelly.
Also has 32 home runs, so you guys have knocked out the 3 in the tie for 3rd with 32 dingers.
Again, I'm going based on last year mostly. Churio?
Jackson Churio with the most, tied for 1st, 38 dingers over the last 2 seasons.
Whoa. Now it gets tough.
Well, I was going to say Garrett Mitchell. I just don't... I mean, obviously, Garrett Mitchell's been injured for a lot this year.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else this year? I mean, Andrew Vaughn would be a fun guess. But, I don't think he's...
No, he's not there.
He's only been with the team for about a month.
La, 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 la. I'm blank.
Yeah, nothing? Jennifer?
I'm thinking. I'm just trying to think of last year's roster as
well. Who was first base last year?
I don't have it in front of me.
Was it by committee?
Wait, you just assume because it's your first base. Why are you looking at me like that? Hit a lot of home runs.
How soon people forget.
You're such a Richard.
Would that be a check? Would that be a check on me?
That's probably. That's 2 checks.
Can you reset the list for us, please?
Churio is 1. Then you've got Contreras, Yelich, and Adames, all tied for 3rd. I need an answer from somebody.
What are their numbers? Can you give me
38, and the other ones have 32.
Oh, see, I'm guessing Mitchell's around 10. Like, so that.
Yeah, it's hard out there.
I don't know what the drop-off is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who's got the most home runs this season?
Christian Yelich.
Great stall tactic.
Yeah, I need an answer from one of you two, otherwise I'm
booting
both of
you. I told you I'm out. That's another check.
For Gabe or for you?
Maybe for both.
Garrett Mitchell, I'll throw on there as maybe making the bottom of this list, but I only think he has like 10 in his.
He's got 8.
And that's not.
12th. Tied for
12th.
Close.
800-990-3776. In the last 2 seasons, we are looking for the home run leaders for your Milwaukee Brewers. Gabe, reset the list one more time.
All right. So you guys knocked out half of it. Jackson Churio tied for 1st with 38. And then in a tie for 3rd, Contreras, Yelich, and Willie Adames, all with 32 home runs apiece.
See, the fact that his 8 was 12th.
Yeah. Not a... big number.
Let's go out to John in Milwaukee. John, you're up first on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Reese Hoskins.
Reese Hoskins. Who was also, by the way, played first base for most of the season.
Yeah, but then he got hurt, and now Andrew
he's tied for first with Churio with 38
home
runs. God
bless America.
Guy has 22 good games, and everyone's like, oh, what about, where's Reese Hoskins? All right, so we have the top five in Churio, Hoskins, Contreras, Yelich, and Adamas.
Blake Perkins.
Blake Perkins, 9 home runs. He is 11th. Okay. One better than Mitchell, but he is not in the top 8.
How many home runs do you think Joey Ortiz has this year? I'm going to take a look at that now that I'm out. And see if I think he might be on the list. 800-990-3776. 800-990-3776. Need callers to play top 8 at 8. We are looking for the home run leaders in the last 2 seasons for your Milwaukee Brewers.
Again, the top 5, Jackson Churio and Reese Hoskins tied for first with 38 dingers each. And then Contreras, Yelich, and Adamas all hitting 32 out of the ballpark over the last 2 seasons. Most impressive for Adamas since, you know, all 32 were just last year for Milwaukee.
Yes. Folks weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text line, you have to call in to play Top 8 at 8 here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Let's go out to Bruce in Bayview. You're up next. Can you complete our Top 8 at 8 list, Bruce?
I'm going to guess Bryce Terang.
Bryce Terang is number 8 on the list. He has 15 home runs over the last 2 seasons. So we are just looking for numbers 6 and 7.
Oh, we forgot one.
Well, no, we forgot 2, so...
Yeah, but I should have got this one.
Okay.
I have another guess?
You keep getting them right. You keep guessing.
Make it, take it.
Jake Bowers.
Jake Bowers, 17 home runs over the last 2 seasons. He is number 7 on the list, leaving just number 6.
Oh, let's see. I'm running out of options.
I think
here.
It is who I think it is.
You are who you think you are.
Yes.
We let him off the hook.
No matter where you go, there you are.
Need a name.
Eric Haas.
Eric Haas, 7 home runs. Eric Haas. He is tied for 13th.
800-990-3776. Let's go out to Amber in Racine. Amber, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
She hung up.
What? Ah!
Oh, wow.
Just need one more name, as we have 7 of the 8. Churio, Hoskins, Contreras, Yelich, Adamas, need number 6, Bowers, Terang are 7 of the 8.
800-990-3776. I believe the name has been said in this segment.
Of course, by Gabe, who? You?
Gabe cannot confirm.
Is that true?
I just said he cannot confirm.
He's been arrogant through this whole list.
Check worthy?
Yes. Yes. What? Because we got 4. 4?
Yeah, 4. You got 4.
Which is good.
Which I would have been fine with until you dip bleeps
I
decided
said
to
first
go
first base.
Who played first base? Which would have been correct, but forgetting that Reese Hoskins has played first base for the majority of the last 2 seasons for the Brewers. It's just a little disappointing.
It is disappointing. You're right. 100%.
But more so for her than me, right?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. Yeah.
That's probably a check mark. Bless you.
I just said I'd wear it. How is that a check mark?
Well, it's a check mark for him for wanting to throw it on you even more. Yes. For trying to pile on.
Fair.
Trying
Dan
to throw you
Sussex,
under the bus.
You're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Joey Ortiz is number 6, 18 home runs over the last 2 seasons.
See,
for the
never
Brewers.
Say that it's not valuable to be listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Dan, you're our big winner this morning on top 8 at 8. That's a good list.
I thought it was Frelick.
Frelick is 10 with 10.
Okay.
He's 10th with 10.
And where was Garrett Mitchell on the list?
Garrett Mitchell 12. Was 12th.
Oh, that's right. I guessed him because I didn't have any more guesses.
That's correct. Good. That was good. I'll take a check mark away for that, Gabe, because it was good.
How about this guy over here designating himself the check mark designator?
You knew that was going to happen.
That's a check.
That was good. You knew that was going to happen. He was going to dive right into that thing.
It's like he gave me a new toy. Of course I'm going to play with it.
Yes. What? Just figure it out over there.
Wow.
Looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner? Fifth Third Bank has been shaping the future of businesses for 167 years. And for the last 15 right here in Milwaukee, we offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making, and extensive experience to help you navigate the ever-changing business landscape with your business in mind. At Fifth Third, they're big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, yet empowered to make local decisions and build strong community connections. Experience the commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are back after this on 94.5 ESPN.
Pella Windows and Doors in Wisconsin. They were at my house yesterday. We have a brand new, beautiful front door. I love the way it looks. My wife loves the way it looks. And you should be trusting Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin as well. Because when you want that long-lasting comfort and reliability, it is easy to trust Pella. Every piece specifically constructed for you and your home can attest with the new door that we have. It's always designed with innovation, rigorously tested for quality and performance to last for years, and built to create long-term energy savings. If you want to check out Pella, do it while you're at the fair. Through August 10th, stop by Pella's booth at the Expo Center inside the Wisconsin State Fair. And this month, if you order before the month's end, August 31st, get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Visit PellaWI.com today.
I suppose to use Gabe's logic, we are still several weeks away from meaningful football. But there will be football on television this weekend, nonetheless. Packers start the preseason against the Jets. Freddie Coleman was on Unsportsmanlike yesterday, and they were talking about the NFC North. So, of course, our ears perk up. We want to know what everybody has to say about the NFC North, particularly the guys who will be slinging the pigskin. Here's what Freddie Coleman had to say about Jordan Love and the quarterbacks of that division.
If he's healthy, he's the one quarterback in the NFC North that has the least amount of questions. Here's why I say that.
Ooh.
Caleb Williams has a new offensive coordinator in Ben Johnson, and reports out of the Chicago Bears camp that it has not been smooth sailing early on involving that. The Minnesota Vikings, J.J. McCarthy, is about to be the starting quarterback, has not taken an NFL snap in any game, preseason or regular season, and he's going to do that with a Justin Jefferson dealing with a hamstring injury, and he's not going to have Jordan Addison the first three games of regular season for violating the NFL's substance abuse policy. Then you go to Detroit Lions and Jared Goff, another offensive coordinator that he's going to have, that he's going to not just start over, though it's still his offense. You still want to know what that's going to look like after Ben Johnson called plays, and he's not calling plays. Jordan Love has the offensive system in front of him that he's had now being a third year starting quarterback with Matt LaFleur in his offense. And Harry's right. If the receivers catch the football and not dropping on him, and he's not trying to hunt for the big bang play all the time, if he's healthy, we've seen what he's been able to do when he's healthy. And he's going to have the least amount of questions, which could be even better for him in 2025 compared to 2024.
I don't understand. Look, I get the McCarthy thing and I get the Caleb Williams thing. I don't understand the Jared Goff thing. I heard him say, new offensive coordinator, but Jordan Love and Jared Goff head-to-head, guys, whether you want to admit it or not, hasn't even been close. You know, look at the records, 4-2, the Lions over the Packers, when these two quarterbacks have been respectively under center. But in every other category, Jared Goff has been better. Are you trying to tell me that those numbers are exclusive to Ben Johnson having been the offensive coordinator? I get continuity. But with Jordan Love coming off that injury, guys, I still think he has more to prove than Jared Goff, who has been a model of consistency in his time in Detroit.
But that reason for the model of consistency might have been Ben Johnson. Because when he got there and Ben Johnson became his OC, Jared Goff took a leap. He took a huge jump. So that is a big question for Jared Goff. Now, ultimately, I think he's going to be fine because being the offensive coordinator of the Lions is just figuring out a way to get the ball in the hands of the speedy weapons that you have, and they've got weapons all over the place. But Jared Goff has significant questions to answer about his level of play, and can he sustain that without one of the best offensive coordinators in football? That's the big question that he has.
I mean, calling plays is an art. The only way he'll really slide is this, if this OC is terrible, because it's the same system. And when you're that age, when you get to be as established as Goff is, Because I'll go back to when Brett, well, you know, Brett was in his eighth, ninth year. He always meets with Holmgren. So your quarterback is always meeting to formulate the game plan. What do you like? This is what we did last time we played him. What do you like? So, I mean, it could flop. I don't think it will.
I mean, he had career numbers just about across the board yet last year.
Jordan's thing is just consistency. You got to be consistent. And I mean, he made a few dumb plays. Remember the pick six at the 5 yard line?
Yeah.
He's got to get away with that. Hopefully these receivers are better. Hopefully Golden adds another dimension that they didn't have. Tucker Kraft takes a step. I'm not worried about this team offensively. I'm not. I think they are good enough to win a Super Bowl offensively. I do. Questions at defense. The defense.
So even Jason this morning talking about how the linebackers have been really impressive and they'll be athletic, especially if they go with the guys that he mentioned. It was Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker and Isaiah Simmons, right?
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. When we played Tampa Bay, right, they had Hardy Nickerson, they had Derrick Brooks, and they had Lonnie Martz. Lonnie was kind of the weaker link of the But Hardy Nickerson, in his day, and Derrick Brooks, Hall of Famer, were fast and unbelievable. The problem when you don't have a good D-line and you have linebackers like that, you run downhill. And what I mean downhill, you run between the tackles because then it neutralizes their speed. If you have a hell of a D, which they did, you know, they had Warren Sapp, they had Brad Culpepper. They had a very good D-line, so it was kind of tough. It's like you run outside, the linebackers are good, you run downhill, they're pretty stout in the D-line. D-line's a big question mark for me, you know? D-line's a big question
mark. What would you need to see from the D-line early in the season, first quarter of the season, if you will, to be like, you know what? It's okay. It's going to work. It's not going to be this porous unit.
I need to see them allow the linebackers to make plays, which is you got to gobble up double teams. You know, you got to keep those offensive linemen on you longer so those guys can run. If they don't, they're going to run downhill. And I'm not going to say they're going to tear it up, but that's kind of what we did against Tampa Bay. We knew we couldn't run outside because they were too damn fast.
So do you agree with Freddie Coleman's assessment? And I want to make sure I get the verbiage right of what Freddie said specifically. Jordan Love is the quarterback with the least amount of questions in the NFC North? I don't know.
It's him and Goff, right? I don't think Caleb Williams is very good. I'm sorry. And I remember.
Why are you apologizing to me?
No, because I remember asking Adam, I'm like, why do they gush over Caleb Williams? I mean, he had question marks at USC.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, he's head and shoulders above everyone else. I'm like, eh. McCarthy, we just don't know. My thing is, I think McCarthy is they're going to try to turn into a game manager. Just don't screw it up. Right?
Yeah.
Don't do too much. Don't screw it up.
Don't put too much on his plate early.
Sure. Exactly.
Although reports out of Vikings camp are that it is not going swimmingly right now. Like, that's a number of people who have been to camp, who have been watching and talking. And I think they were hoping it would go a little bit better than it has gone.
I'm going to watch that. Do you know what time that game is on? Because I'm more interested in that game. Watching, because they said McCarthy's going to play.
Yeah.
I'll watch the first quarter of that, even.
They play at 3 p.m. Central on Saturday.
So I'll watch that. I want to see what that's like. The problem with Jordan is we've seen it. We've seen how good you
can
be.
I'm surprised you're not more concerned about the offense.
I'm not.
Given the way things ended last year and losing three straight games, and a lot of, I mean, the defense wasn't the issue against the Eagles. They scored 10 points and turned it over four times. The Packers had less than 200 yards passing in each of the last three games that were the losses.
There was something, Gabe, and I don't know if you guys remember, and I remember stuff like this happening. When Tucker Kraft said something to the effect of, something's not right. Do you remember that at the end of the year? He said, and no one dug into it. Something internally was not right there. And I think he was talking about the offense, whether guys aren't working hard enough.
Yeah.
They're not putting in the time. There's something. Because when a player says that, especially publicly, there's something behind the curtain. There's something behind the curtain.
If I remember the timing, nobody could really dig into it because I think he said that at locker cleanout.
Oh, it was locker cleanout?
I'm pretty sure it was. I could be wrong.
Yes.
I think it was locker cleanout is when he mentioned that. So then you've got the 2 months and it just kind of becomes something that disappears that we talk about for a little bit at the time.
Because we were all expecting so much more out of the receivers last year and none of them. I was wondering if he was alluding to the fact that, guys, we're not putting the time in. You don't put the time in, this is what happens. You know? So, no, I'm really not. Because they upgraded the O-line. They got a hell of a running back.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the skill position's got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Right?
And they did not. And did they figure it out last year?
No. But that's always bothered me, what Kraft said.
Okay, so I want to just nail this down again. If Freddie Coleman is using Ben Johnson's departure as a reason or a question mark that Jared Goff has to be responsible for, ostensibly, wouldn't Jordan Love also have to be responsible for the evolution and the growth of the wide receivers? Like, I know it's not on him, and I know that Jared Goff works one-on-one with the offensive coordinator, so you could argue that that directly affects his performance and production. But so does the wide receivers dropping balls. So you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know that Jordan has a direct impact on that happening, but that to me is a question surrounding Jordan Love. Will his wide receivers step up?
But that's not a question on Jordan. That's, can his receivers step up?
But neither is a new offensive coordinator a question on Jared Goff.
Sure it is.
But if you remember,
Because he only performed well with that offensive coordinator. Can he perform well with the new offensive coordinator who's directly responsible for everything on the offense?
You guys remember what Jordan said earlier in the middle of the season when he did it in the nicest way possible. He says, receivers, you got to create separation. So if you're putting the pieces together, to me, sounds like the receivers didn't put in the work. No?
Yeah.
I mean, when your quarterback's saying, hey, you got to get open and make it a little easier for me.
Yeah.
That's just my take. You know, that's kind of like reading between the lines.
You know who's been getting separation? What? What are you laughing about?
We got to figure out the bet. It's that simple. And that was a check mark.
What?
That is four check marks.
I just asked a question.
No.
All I did was ask a question.
But you knew the answer.
Well, I was just seeing if you knew the answer.
Was that arrogant, Will? No, don't. Yeah. Me and him are going to
hash it out after the show.
Yeah.
Have a little conversation.
I'll let it go. It's producer school, I guess. I just got to deal with it.
Once again, there is no producer school. We have enjoyed having Professional Construction Inc. help with our home projects. As you might know, we can't handle all of the big ones. And when we get in over our head, we call our friends at PCI. Why? Because they are the best when it comes to remodeling projects, home additions, or even building a new home. Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships and doing exceptional work on your project. Guys, they did our basement. It is one of the best areas of our home. Just gives us that extra space that we needed for everyone to feel comfortable, and they can do the same for you. Learn more about PCI and see their work at ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. That's ProfessionalConstructionInc.com.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN.
Music already?
It's all she wrote.
Chewy's like, why are we still talking? Can I go? Can I?
No, you got 30 seconds yet, Chew. You got
that's
30
a check
seconds.
Mark, and that's a check mark.
30 seconds where you got to sit right there. 25.
I love that Chewy has designated himself Pat Murphy of this unit.
You know what? Wildy and Tausch coming up next.